what I long for. Heart that follows after thee. I want a pure heart and true heart. That's what I long for. Heart that follows after thee.
Seated for a while. I can't hear myself, so that's why it's hard here. So we have a prayer request. Sister Peladi asking for prayer as she'll be traveling home next week. Let's first pray for this request and then. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness, O Lord. For being God everywhere we go. Because we can realize, oh Lord, we didn't leave you in sanctuary, but you came along with us, oh Lord. Everywhere we go, you said you'll never forsake, you'll never abandon us, oh Lord. And this place, we can just feel that it's your chosen place of worship, oh Lord. We can feel the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is not in the building, the Holy Ghost is in the people that worship you. That's why, Heavenly Father, we take possession of this place, O Lord. Every time we'll come, let the Holy Spirit anoint, O Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord heal. Let the Spirit of the Lord save. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your people, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit the service into your hand. Our sister will be traveling to South Africa, and any other brother or sister will be traveling, oh Lord. Keep and protect them. Those of us, of ours, we have traveled. We are not with us today, O Lord. Keep and protect them. Amen. We think of our pastor, O Lord, and Brother Wilmo and Brother Greg. We miss them in our midst, O Lord. But we believe that where they are, your Holy Ghost is with them. Your hand will keep and protect them, O Lord. Bless now the service as we commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Max, for the Sunday school. That was a real blessing. And we believe, it's so weird to see. You know, we knew in the other place where if I want to see Brother Tino, I know I'll look there. But now I'll have to try and find in the room, you know. You have to get familiar with where the people are coming. So that's why it's easy when you say amen. I know the voices, so I know, she's sitting there. Or he's sitting there, you know. It's not easy to move in a new place. I could see even the offering basket. You just realize that we are in the desert, you know. It's a shopping bag, you know. Even where the sister is projecting the songs, it's from a bin, you know. So what can we do? Amen. As long as the Holy Ghost is with us, amen. That's what matters. Amen. So I'm really thankful to the Lord as I can stand here. If you were with me tonight, you couldn't. I didn't believe I would be able to stand. I didn't almost sleep all night. I was coughing like a dog, you know. I don't know if you can hear my voice. I had a blocked nose. I had a sore throat. I'm still having a sore throat now. I can hardly swallow my saliva. And coughing. I didn't sleep almost. But, you know, we are here.
Amen.
You know, what gave me a bit of strength yesterday was when I spoke to my brother back home. He's a pastor too. So I was telling him what I was going through. It was hard for me to even prepare. He told me almost the same thing happened to him last week. He had a running stomach. He was wondering, will he be able to preach on the Sunday? By the time he stood at the pulpit, the stomach ceased. He preached. After he finished, the stomach came back. So I just said, okay, I will go, and that's a good testimony. So I believe it will go once for all. Amen. Let's stand as we are going to read the word. God bless you. Matthew 27, 1 to 7, and then Revelation 19, 7 to 8. We are going to talk this morning about the awakening of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very important topic, and we believe the Lord will help us, give us the mercies we need. Matthew 25, 1 to 7. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trim their lamps. Now, Revelation 19, 7 to 8. Are you there? "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready.
Amen.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Let's pray. Lord, we commit the reading of the word into your hand. Bless your people because there's a blessing attached to the reading of the word. Bless us as we are going to meditate upon these words. Give us the true context of what we are going to say. And let it be spiritual food for our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Yeah, just to for the logistic arrangements. There's another toilet upstairs there, so you those who are sitting back there, you don't need to come all the way to go to the toilet downstairs. You can use that door. There's a toilet up there. So we have just read there in Matthew 25, which shows the condition of the bride in these last days we are living. You know, the Bible, Jesus gives us a type of the coming of the Lord and the preparation of the bride. So the Bible says there was 10 virgins and they took their lamps and they went forth. So it just shows us that they were not people that were living like the rest of the world. They separated themselves. The prophet says they were pure. They were virgin. They were separated from the rest of the world. They didn't, you know, they didn't live in the world. They went forth. They left their homes. They were actually a church, because a church is a group of separated people. It's a group of people that were called out. So those 10 virgins were a church. That's right. Amen. They went, they separated. Because they were aware, they knew, they were conscious that something was about to happen. They were prepared, they knew that we are not like the rest of the world. We are going, they were in expectation for something to happen. So because of that, they separated themselves, which was a good thing. And they went to meet the bridegroom. They took their lamps. We know the story. There's many angles you can, you know, approach this story. But we are going to take just one single angle about the awakening of the bride. Amen. So they went. The Bible says, while the groom was tarrying, they all slumbered and fall asleep. Amen. Though they were the bride, though they were expecting something to happen, though they were expecting for the coming of the Lord, they got themselves separated from the world. They went to meet the Lord, to make ready to meet the Lord. But at some stage, because of the condition of the hour, because of the condition of the world, and you know, they slumbered and fell asleep. Amen. The coming of the Lord became something secondary to them. They got themselves mixed up. They became unconscious. Because when someone falls asleep, it means they become unconscious. They don't remember what they were preparing for. They came to a point where the coming of the Lord, which was the reason, even the very reason they left the world for, to go and to prepare for the coming of the Lord. But they went and they became to a stage when they said, the Lord is tarrying. Let's just look after our own business now. They slumbered and slept. They started looking at some other stuffs, which were not the coming of the Lord. The coming of the groom became something secondary in their priorities. Yeah. They got themselves into social media. They got themselves into trying to find money, making money. They got themselves into their family business, all everything else except the coming of the Lord.
Oh, Lord, help.
Amen. That's the condition the bride find themselves before the coming of the Lord. Instead of, because the groom told them himself, watch and pray.
Amen.
That was the recommendation of the groom before he left. He told them, watch and pray. But them, instead of going there and watching and praying, they got themselves into some other business. They forgot that their purpose, the most higher priority in their life should have been watching and praying, you know, watching on every move for the hour of the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
But they slumbered and slept. Amen. Very important principle. We need to understand that we are called. We have a ministry. The prophet says, there was a question asked to the prophet. Will the bride of Christ have a ministry before the coming of the Lord? The prophet says, yes. This is the message of the hour. The ministry of the bride will be made of apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and doctors. Amen. Why? Because we have a job to do. We have a preparation to be made before the Lord should come.
That's right.
Amen. But the bride is caught up in something else. She needs an awakening.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
She was a bride. She was pure. She was prepared. She was ready. But she fell asleep. Something had to happen to wake her, to awaken her, to make her conscious of her ministry. Are we together? Because what is the mission of the bride? What is the mission? What is the purpose of a bride? A bride's mission, a bride's calling is to manifest the groom.
Amen.
Amen. Why does a man get married? A man go to find a wife. A man go to get married. Why? Because there's something in him that wants to manifest itself. Amen. At a certain stage in the life of a man, of a boy, you know, something starts to call. There's a calling inside because there's an attribute of a father in him. There's something in him that wants to bring a son into manifestation. There's something in a man that will tell him, you are a father. There's a son, there's children in you that want to be manifested. And that man, at some stage, something will start kicking in their heart. I need to find a wife. What a faithful that says that is true.
Amen.
Amen. I know many didn't say that is true, but they believe it.
Yeah.
Amen. That is true. At some stage in a man's life, I went through it myself. There was a stage, my young brothers, I know, I'll just say what you think. Amen. There was a stage when I see my friends, you know, my fellow friends who were married before me. I see them with their wives pregnant. I say, oh my goodness, when will this happen to me? Amen. Because there's a call in you. There's something in you. There's a child in you that you want to fellowship with.
Amen.
And that child will come to manifestation only if you find a bride. We are talking about Christians' experience.
Amen.
We are not talking about the world out there where they could go and find any woman and manifest themselves. Amen. But for a Christian, you need to find a bride. The purpose, the ministry, the calling of a bride is to help a groom manifest that attribute that is in him. But while the groom is getting ready, while the groom wants to manifest himself, to bring forth a child to his own image, the bride is there sleeping. Amen. Because remember, in the beginning, God made man in his own image.
Right.
Amen. And when God made man in his own image, the Bible says, After God made man after, because it was the last of God's creation. On the sixth day, God made man. And when God looked and saw his own image reflected on earth, the Bible says, God rested for 1,000 years. Amen. God went to rest only when he saw his image. Amen. In creation, the Bible doesn't say God rested. First day, second day, you know, God was going crescendo. You know, until the creation reflected his own image, Amen. God said, it's time for me now to rest. Amen. And as long as man was in the image of God, God was at rest. Right. Amen. Amen. Sin came, you know yourself, and disturbed God's rest. God started to building himself another masterpiece. Amen. That was in the morning of time. In the middle of the day, God created a son to his own image.
Amen.
Amen. God creates himself a son. Because the aim of God, God will be at rest only when he can see his image on earth. Amen. As long as God doesn't see his reflection in earth, there is no rest for God.
Right.
Amen. God rested because he could see his image manifested in earth. In the middle of the day, God created a son to his own image, and God gave himself a rest. That's why he could say, behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm delighted. That was the adoption time. God could rest because his image was on earth. Amen. In the evening of time is the time where God wants to manifest another son on earth. Amen. This is the time where God wants to see his image reflected again in earth. But this image of God will be manifested only through a bride. Amen. But that bride is sleeping. Amen. But the bride is unconscious. She's busy with the things of the world, doing her own stuffs, rather than being busy to produce a son to the image of God.
Amen.
Amen. That bride needs an awakening.
Amen.
Amen. The bride needs an awakening. That's why we are going to talk about the awakening of the bride. Because it is very important. Are you the bride of Christ?
Yes, sir.
If you are a bride of Christ, you need to be awakened. You need to know your position as a bride.
Amen.
Because, amen, a bride that calls herself a bride and doesn't want to give a son to her husband, that woman is not worthy to be called a bride. Amen. When the bride feels the desire to manifest himself on earth, the woman will be there. Leave me, I'm sleeping. She's not worthy to be called that man's wife. Are you with me?
Amen.
I'm speaking of spiritual things here. Amen. Because the natural just types the spiritual. Well, Jesus Christ, our groom, needs you to manifest He promised son, his own image on earth. You, the bride, you are sleeping.
Help, Lord.
And when it's the time for him to come and give you the seed so that you can manifest him, you say, no, I'm sleeping. You are not worthy to be called his wife. Amen?
Amen.
It's the time for you to be awakened. And something needs to come and shake you.
Help, Lord.
That's why in the middle of the night, a voice said, listen, behold, the groom is here. There was a voice that needed to, you know, the groom needed something to awaken them.
Amen.
Amen. Because the bride, the bride needs to be awakened because the groom wants to express himself.
Amen.
Amen. Are you willing to express the groom?
Amen.
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 It's time for us.
Hallelujah.
The prophet says, This is in the sermon. The spoken word is the original seed.
Amen.
The first son was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to produce himself. That's what a bride is for. A bride is given a son, a man, so that the man can produce another himself. That's what the bride was given for, to produce himself again, another son of God. Then, he says, but she fell by her breeding. Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, virgin of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his Amen. Word to in the virgin. Amen.
Amen.
Through them, through you, will be fulfilled all that has been promised. So you have a great responsibility in the manifestation of the Son of God,
Amen.
Of the image of God, because you have been given as a bride to him Amen. To produce, to bring forth the image of God in earth. Amen. Now, while all this is happening, we say the bride is sleeping. She needs to be awakened. Amen. They need to be awakened. They need to be an awakening of the bride. The prophet says, everywhere now, there's no revival. Everybody is complaining. Ministers are crying. I was reading one of the outstanding papers that comes here to the church. This is in the sermon, Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. A very fine paper. But they hardly will print anything unless it is about fast, pray, sound the trumpet. There's a great things going to happen. All of you, pray, pray, pray. We are not late yet, pray. You know, there was something going on that time. People were everywhere in the newspaper, the evangelic newspaper. People were feeling that something needs to be done. Watch and pray, pray, wake up, pray, sound the trumpet. The prophet say, why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They are crying, believing that there will be an awakening. They are good people. What is this? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Amen.
Amen.
By being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour. They feel the pull of the hour, that something needs to be done.
Amen.
They can feel that the bride is sleeping. An awakening must be done. They can feel it. By being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour. But they haven't recognized what has been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen. But see, they are looking for it. For it way of the future when it's already happened right by you. They are looking for an awakening. The prophet said, while the awakening has already happened. Amen. Remember at midnight there was a calling. Behold the groom. The awakening will happen, has happened, but they didn't recognize it. Amen. So that's why as a bride, we need really to take our rightful position.
Amen.
Amen. We need to understand because when you understand who you are, and when you are awake, you can make preparation.
Amen. That's right.
Someone can't prepare if they are not awake.
Amen.
If they are not, they don't have the revelation of their rightful position. You become conscious of who you are, and then you can make the preparations accordingly.
Amen.
Amen. It's just like in the natural. When a woman wants to get married, Amen. Before that, you know, she was just born like a little girl in the father and mother's house. And let me tell you, that girl will be happy living in the father's house. Any girl, you know, girls love their fathers. I don't know if I'm wrong, but I've seen it. They love their fathers. She'll be happy in the house. Oh, this is our home. I love daddy. I love mommy. I remember when my daughter was still 5, 6, 7, when I go and tell her bedtime stories. You know, I'll be laying with her in the bed. We'll tell the story and so forth. And she'll hug me strongly there. Say, daddy, I'll never get married. Daddy, I don't want to leave you. And I'll say, I'll never let you go. Yes. She'll come and say, Daddy, oh, you are so good. You are the best daddy ever. I want to stay with you forever. Oh, this thing fell down. It's fine. Are you with me?
Amen.
Thank you. And I know she meant it. Amen. She meant it. Why? Because she's still asleep. Amen. You get the point? She meant it because she's still asleep. Amen. A woman, you know, as long as she's not really aware of her mission, her calling yet, she'll be busy doing something else. She'll be busy, happy in the father's house. You know, my daddy loves me. I want to go to school. Let's go to the zoo. Let's go to the playground. And let's go to this and this and that. She's happy being there. Daddy, I'll never leave you. Daddy, I love you. And that's fine. Until the day she wakes up. Amen. When a woman is awakened, something will happen.
Amen.
Something, amen. Something will change in that woman. Amen. That's why we are trying to keep it as, you know, to delay it as much as we can. Amen. Because we don't want a little girl, a teenager, to be awakened. Amen. Because it's, amen, it starts something. It starts a process in her that you can't stop.
Amen.
Amen. When a woman is awakened and she knows who she is, it triggers a process that no one can stop. Even an atomic bomb.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing will stop it. Why? Because she is awakened, she knows who she is. Amen. So that girl, before, she was happy. She could remain in that condition. But one day, what it takes is a message. What it takes is a spoken word. This thing, come on. Do you have a handheld microphone? It's easier for me. That's good. What it takes is a message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. One day she'll just go out there and she meets someone who says something to her. You know, it doesn't take, you know, cranes and
to tractors and machine guns. It's just a spoken word. Amen. Those words that that man will say to her, it will be said in a certain spirit. It will bring her in a certain dimension that it opened her eyes. Amen. That's the awakening of the bride we are talking about. If that, because the, that same message, someone can say it. It is just passing. Someone else can say it. Even her father can say it. But if she believes that man that comes to tell her, if she has confidence in that man, she trusts that man, that message, when she receives it, it will start a process in her that will start a transformation in the bride.
Amen.
Amen. You will notice that something is wrong with this girl. You just notice that she's not the same girl anymore. Why? Because she has received a message. She has received a messenger, and that messenger told her a message, spoke some words to her, and those words start a transformation process in her. What will the father notice? Just notice that my daughter is not the same anymore. You know, before it was, she was calling me for bedtime stories. She's not calling me anymore for bedtime. Daddy, go away. I don't want to see you. Amen. No, Daddy, you are too much. Daddy, please, please stay away from me.
Lori!
But you are telling me you'll never leave me. No, Daddy, that's the past. Now it's a different time. Amen. You will notice that even her habits, her behavior will change in the house. She will separate from her whole old friends. You just see that. You used to work with such a man. You used to work with, she will end all those relationships. If she had any extra relationship outside the house, when she gets, you know, she receives that message and she believes it, she'll end all the other relationships. All she wants is to hear from that voice. Amen. All she wants now is to stand in the presence of that boy. Listen to her. The voice of that man becomes so sweet to her that it starts to transform the bride. The bride. It starts to transform her. Amen. The parents even will realize that. The father will tell to the mother, have you noticed a change in your daughter? Say, yeah. What have you noticed? She's daydreaming now. Yes. You'll see her sitting in the home, but she's not there anymore. She's living in another dimension. I'm just going to call a name that's not in this church. So, Sophie. Is there Sophie here? No. Yeah? Voila. Ah, okay, sorry. Because Sophie, what's wrong? Yes, Daddy. No, nothing. Why? She's living in another dimension. Amen. She has been taken from the Father's house to heavenly places. Amen. She's fellowshipping now from another dimension. Because she's so in communion with that other world she's going to, that though physically she lives in the Father's house, but spiritually she has been raptured. That's why your rapture doesn't start the day of the rapture. If you are not raptured now, you'll never be raptured. Amen. Because that girl, even before she goes into her husband's house, she starts living in the husband's house while she's in the father's house. Amen. That's what will make her make the correct preparation. Because if a girl is not in that condition before the wedding, she'll be a bad girl, a bad wife. Amen. She needs to be raptured first, because your rapture is a spiritual first before it becomes physical. Amen. If you are not raptured spiritually, you'll never be raptured physically. Amen. That's why we are talking about these things now. Amen. That's why we are talking about these things now. So that you remember. Remember, we were talking past a few weeks about those dimensions. Things are happening in a certain dimension that if you are not connected to that dimension, your physical body will never be able to break into that other dimension. You need to be spiritually connected first. Amen. So that girl will be there. You'll notice that even her dressing code will change. She used, you know, to wear, I don't know, trousers and mini skirts and that. But because that boy doesn't like that type of dressing, you'll see that she completely changed. Even the father will start asking, I bought you that mini skirt the other day. Why didn't you buy it? No, dad, I don't want to buy it. Why? No. But you used to like this. No, dad, I don't want it anymore. Even her sleeping pattern will change. Amen. Nighttime, you'll see her on her phone. What are you doing, Sophie?
No, I was sleeping.
When the door opens. If you just remove the blanket, you'll see the phone hot. We know that. As parents, we know. Sometimes I just come and look and say, oh, she thinks I don't know. Just before you enter. Even those, these guys. You know, even her sleeping patterns will change. Because she wants more fellowship. That's what makes you to go into that realm. Because you need to fellowship with that realm. She'll be there. I remember in our days, you know, we didn't have mobile phones. Yeah, we are lucky, but it was fun, you know. We didn't have mobile phones, we didn't have WhatsApp, internet. You had to write a letter. You know, no, but David must know something about it. It's from my generation, you know. You have to write a letter and find a messenger, a postman or a post. Usually it was a postwoman, a little girl. You need to find her and give her something, 10 euro. Go and give to her. You know, she'll take the letter, and if you were not lucky enough and your letter got intercepted in the meantime, you know. I can imagine. You'll see in the evening the family of the girl coming, knocking at your door. While you are sitting with your dad and your mom, you see them coming. Tell your boy, see this. You know, but if that letter, I'm just trying to illustrate something, amen? Though it's funny, but take it spiritually. If that girl happened to get the letter, I'm telling you, my brother, she will read that letter times and times and times. She can read it 100 times, it will look like it's still new. Because she's in love. Because she is awakened. Amen. Sometimes the letter, the paper was white. It will become yellow like this. Amen. Because of reading over and over, she'll go and sit and say, wow. The same letter, she'll go again and read again. Ah, I didn't see this word. Oh, he said read this. You know, why? Because she's awakened. She's making preparations. She's learning to know the man. Spending the time with the man becomes her hobby. You know, she wants to fellowship. What about the bride? We have received the message. Do you spend time reading the message from your husband? Amen. Do you spend time reading your love letter from your husband? Amen. Having sleepless night, fellowshipping with your husband. looking at, no matter if the letter become yellow, it doesn't matter. Sometimes because of handling it, opening and closing. And you know, the girls, they are very clever those days because now it's phone. They will keep the letter with them. You don't want your dad to see it. They don't want the mother to see it. They will protect it in a way that sometimes it starts getting torn off. But even if it's torn, she'll still read between the lines. Amen. She'll be able to read between the lines. I can't see the word, but I know because I know him. I know what he means. Amen. Because you know him so much, he can't. You don't need him to say everything. But between the lines, you can understand what he means. Amen. Awakening of the bride. If you are awakened, you will need to listen to hear from your husband. You want him to speak to you. Amen. Are we together? The Lord bless you. Yeah. That's natural wedding. And if the father, if you don't want to get in trouble with that girl, just make sure to be wise. Even if you don't agree, find the best way to approach it. Amen. If you try to stand in a way between her and that boy and her wedding, hey, you may be in serious trouble. Before, you were the sweetest dad in the earth. But if you start out to say, that boy is a coward, daddy, you are still living in the 50s. You know, this is modernity, dad. My dad is a demon, you know. If I've ever seen a demon in flesh, is my dad. Your dad becomes a demon. Why? Few years back, you were telling him, you are the sweetest dad ever. But now, because he wants to interfere while you are awake, that's the key word, my brother, my sister, being awake. Because everything, all these things we do is just because you are not awakened yet. That's why you get so, you know, distracted. That's why you get so caught up in this entertainment. And it pleases you. Why? Because you don't know your husband yet. Because you have not really received that message yet. If you have received the message from your husband to be, and you believe it, it will change you. There's no way you can receive the message and it doesn't change you. There is no way. Amen. You are still playing around because you have not truly believed. Because you are not really awakened yet. But let the wife, let the bride be awakened, you will notice a change. And no one will tell you, you will see this girl believe the message. You say this brother believes the message. Why? Because try to stand and tell him you are not going to church. Amen. When she wants to go to church, when the brother wants to go to church, the boss comes and says, no, listen. Extra hours, 50 euro per hour. That girl will say, if I've ever seen a demon in the earth, this is this boss. Because he wants to prevent me from going to fellowship with my husband. Amen. The same way that girl will say, my dad is a demon because he's stopping me from talking to my beloved one. The same way you spiritually, you must say, anything that comes to stand between you and your fellowship with the Lord, you must call it a demon. Amen. That's when you notice that the girl, the bride is awakened. Amen. We are going to take one type in the Bible. There was a girl, you know the story, Rebecca. Amen. She was just a girl like other girls. She was happy serving her father, Bethuel. going to fetch water, feeding the cattle, and doing. She was happy as any other girl. But while she was happy being called the daughter of Bethuel, there was a groom somewhere. Amen. There was a groom somewhere in whom the desire to express himself started, you know, burning in him. And that groom, you know, the father noticed that my son needs to be my. There's a desire now in my son to be manifested. I need to find him a wife. But in the meantime, on the other side, the girl was still sleeping. She was happy to go to the well, fetch the water, come back home, feed the sheep, prepare for the father, feed the brother Laban, do this. And she was happy. For her, that was the end of the world. But she didn't know that in the groom somewhere, the desire has started to manifest. She didn't know that on the other picture, the groom wants to bring a son to his own image. While she's there sleeping, not knowing that she has a responsibility, there must come a message to awaken her. Amen. There must come, something must happen that she can be awakened. So while she was doing her duty every day, going and coming back, this day she went, as any other day, to the well. She went to fetch the water. She was expecting to come back and do the same things she does every day. But this time it was different. Amen. Let's read the story. Genesis 24. 1-8, 1-6. Are you with me? Genesis 24:1-6. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant in the house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Let's stop there first. This is a very key principle for a believer. Amen. You, our young ones, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, this is where we stand. This is a key principle where we stand. Thou shalt not take a wife. Put a husband if you are a girl. Thou shalt not take a wife unto my sons of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. You know who the Canaanites are? Out there. Use brothers and sisters, we are not married yet. Listen to what the prophet says. You see, this is in Be Certain of God. Hallelujah. You see, Ahab was reigning in Israel in the time over Israel, and he was the wickedest of all the kings. He says, you cannot displease God and expect to get away very long. And in his wedding, instead of marrying among his own people, he went over and married a sinner, an idolater, who worshiped idols. He married Jezebel, and she was not a believer. Listen to what the prophet says. And no believer should ever marry an unbeliever. Can you hear that? No believer should never marry an unbeliever. Under no circumstances, should always marry believers. Amen. Never, no believer should marry an unbeliever. Somewhere else, the prophet says, if you say you do it, you'll pay for it in your life. Never a believer should go and marry an unbeliever. Amen. But I know in the message now there is, they know how to bypass it now. Yeah, there's always a way to invent, you know. The brothers and sisters, they are very clever. They'll go and find a Canaanite. Say, you know, our church, you need to come to church. And he'll bring him to church. She'll be sitting there. He'll be sitting there. They don't know each other. No. They don't know. They came. One took this bus. The other one took that bus. God sees what you are doing. Amen. Amen. And after 2-3 weeks, oh, he's a brother. You know, I want to marry him. The pastor, what can he do? He's not God. You can fool the pastor, but you'll never fool yourself. You'll never fool God. You can come here, we'll bless you. But remember, God knows. God sees everything. He will see that you have not been obedient to his word. No believer should marry an unbeliever. And if you do, you will pay for that. Amen. Now, let's carry on with our reading. Verse 4. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred. You should go into your country and your kindred. Who is your kindred? The believers. Amen. And take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Amen. So, this is Rebecca. As we says, she was asleep. She didn't know what she was. But from that day when she went to that well, fetched the water as every day, this was a different day. Maybe she met men before. She met travelers before with camels and staffs and everything. But this time, even from the greeting that man, from the first word that man spoke to her, she could feel something. She could feel something, a reply in her heart. Amen. The man said, please, can you give me some water? And you know the story. She did exactly what the man was expecting. And the man gave her something. You know, you read the story. The Bible doesn't explain. But if you go to read the background of the story behind, these were the signs of engagement. When a man or someone gives that earring, and it was not an earring they put here. It was an earring they put there, you know, because the Bible says they put her on her face. Go and read verse 27 on that same chapter. It was something that symbolizes engagement. And the bracelets she puts, everything it was. So she knew that something has happened here. That this man is talking about getting me married. And you know what happened? She believed the man. She believed the message. And from the moment that Rebecca believed the message, the prophet says, convinced, then concerned. From the time Rebecca became convinced of the message, it was not that man, let's say it. The Bible doesn't say Eliezer, but the prophet said it was Eliezer. It was not Eliezer's job to go and speak to her family anymore. It became her business. From the time she received the message, from the time she accepted the message, it was not Eliezer to come and go and say, you know, I've come for this and that. It was now Rebecca's duty to go and introduce the man to her family. Amen. Since she became awakened, since the message came, got across, and she believed the message, she said, let's go to my father's house. I will do the speaking. You just keep your quiet. Keep quiet and go. Let's go. I will do the speaking. And they went. And you know what happened? Even the parents, Rebecca's parents, Rebecca's brother, they saw their sister coming back. She was not the same as she left. She had changed. Amen. They could see that our sister is not the same anymore. She had something on her face. She had something on her, you know, arms to show that she was awakened. There was a change going happened in her. You can't receive the message and remain the same. Amen. You can't be awakened and remain the same person. Something must happen. Something physical. Amen. You can't say, no, you know it spiritually, I'm changed. No. It starts inside, but it will be reflected outside. Amen. Amen. Your frequentations must change. The people you associate with will change. Your speech, your language will change. Rebecca's language changed. She was not speaking the same anymore. The brother, the father, the mother could say, but Rebecca, you are not used to speak. What happened? There was a transformation that happened. Why? Because she had believed the message. Amen. And there was a messenger. The message came, because remember, Isaac didn't come himself to speak to Rebecca. It was Eliezer. It was a messenger. And Rebecca had to pay heed to the messenger. Because at some stage, amen, at some stage, the messenger and the message are one. Amen. At some stage, the messenger and the message are one. If you reject the messenger, let's just say a postman is coming to deliver you a letter. Yeah? I just want to draw your attention on the ministry. You can't say you believe the message if you don't pay respect to the ministry. Because the ministry, the minister is the one who introduced the message to you. Amen. Amen. When you see the postman coming, if you have ordered, I don't know, something, and the postman coming, sometimes it's driving at the van. From far, when you see the van coming, you'll say, oh, my parcel is coming. But it's not your parcel that is coming. It's a van. But at that stage, the van, the postman, and your parcel are one. Amen. They are one. So it doesn't matter for you. When you see the van, you say, my parcel is coming. At some stage, the postman will get off the van and take your parcel. When you see the van now, you won't call the van my parcel. Because you've got to a point where the van and your parcel has separated. Amen. Now the van doesn't matter for you anymore. Now you look at the postman, you say, my parcel is coming. Well, he's holding the parcel, but he's not the parcel. He'll come. You'll keep going, oh, my parcel is coming. Oh, I'm happy my parcel is coming. But it's a man actually bringing your parcel. Then, when the messenger delivers the message, he'll be passing now. You won't call him your parcel anymore. Amen. At some stage, he's identified with the message. When you receive the message, maybe sometimes it may be in an envelope. You'll call it my message, my parcel. But at some stage, you'll open the envelope because at that stage, the envelope and your message are one. Amen. But at some stage, you'll open the envelope, get the message, and throw the envelope away. Amen. That's why we want to draw your attention. There's a spirit now in the message to worship the messenger. Amen. The message and the messenger are one, but they are not one like my finger here. Are you getting it? They are not one like my finger. They are one because the messenger veils the message. But from the time the messenger delivers the message, no, you can't, you know, there's a separation that's happened. The only one who is one, like my finger, with the word is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Any other messenger is the envelope to the message. When they deliver, that's why the Bible will say Moses was God to the children of Israel. But he was not a God that you can worship. Amen. He's not a God you can worship. That's why, bride, be aware. When you are awakened, when the time of the awakening comes, Remember in Matthew 25, the Bible says, there was a voice that says, behold the groom. It was not the groom himself. It was a third person. Most of the time, you'll be so much focused on that third person that you will find it hard now to differentiate the groom and the message. The groom and the messenger. That's why you, as the bride, just pay attention. Our Lord that we worship is Jesus Christ. Any other messenger is just an envelope. Amen. Now, Rebecca, it was given to Rebecca just a simple message. It was not a message, you know, it was not a PhD, a university message. It was just something simple. Give me something to drink. Amen. We have received a simple message, my brother. But in that message, there's everything you need to transform you. Amen. In Eliezer's message, there was not something complicated like, you know, the calculus or the, how do you call it, metabolism and this and that, those big words. It was a simple message. But the power of transformation is not in the sophistication of the message, but it's in your faith, in the message. If you believe the message, it will transform you. Amen. It started a transformation process in Rebecca. To an extent where Rebecca didn't want to live in her father's house anymore. Amen. To an extent where they called her, Rebecca, please stay with us only for 10 days. Only 10 days. You know, they say, let's call her. Rebecca, you want to stay or you want to go? When you are awakened, you want to go. Amen. Amen. When a woman, when a bride is awakened, she's no longer sleeping, she wants to go. The only desire in Rebecca's heart now was, I want to see Isaac. I want to stay with Isaac. That's my aim. That's my objective now, is to go and stay with Isaac. Eliezer, tell me more about Isaac. More and more and more and more of Jesus. Amen. More and more of Jesus, less and less of the world. That's what where we have to aim now, my brother. If you believe the message, you want to talk, you want to hear about him and him alone. Amen. Now, are we together? Amen. We really needed that. We really need that, my brother and sister, because if you don't come to that realization, there's nothing the message can do to you. If you are asleep, busy with PlayStation, busy with your studies, which is good, you know. We don't preach that you can't have you can't go to school, you can't go to work, you can't. All these things are good, but they must be secondary. Amen. When you are awakened to the kingdom of God, it becomes a priority. Let's read Matthew. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's a preparation time. We are talking about a preparation time. When the awakening of the bride, what is the aim? What is the purpose of the awakening of the bride? It's for her to be prepared. We have read there, the wedding of the lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. You have a responsibility to make yourself ready. Being awakened is one thing. But when a bride-to-be is awakened, what she starts to do is starting making preparations. When you are the bride, those virgins in Matthew 25, when they were awake, they didn't just wake and stay seated idle. When you get awakened, the awakening of the bride is for you to make preparations. Amen. Because the groom is ready, but the bride is not ready yet. When the groom sends now that announcement, that message is for you to wake up and get prepared. But the groom has made provision that if you believe his message, everything is in that message to get you prepared. Amen. He has made provisions that if you accept the message of the awakening, there's in that instruction manual everything you need to do to get you prepared. You have now the responsibility now how to handle that instruction manual. Amen. That's the responsibility of you, bride, now. How do you handle the instruction manual on how to get prepared and go and meet your groom? Amen. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Because remember, everything, what holds everything is your mind. Amen. Everything goes from your mind. Because remember, the prophet says, this world was created by the word of God. And the word is an expressed thought. Are we together? So everything, all the creation started in the mind of God. Any transformation starts by the... That's why Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because your words, you can speak words, correct words, only if your mind is transformed. If your mind is not transformed, you'll still speak from your human realm. That's why he said, let the mind be within you, which was also in Christ. Because if you have the mind of Christ, you'll speak like Christ spoke. Amen. And how did Christ spoke? Christ spoke saying, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Your mind, if you get the mind of Christ, you'll speak things to existence. Amen. As the bride, you are awakened. He advises you now to take the mind of Christ because there's a transformation that needs to happen. And that transformation will happen only if you have the correct mind. Amen. You will speak your own rapture. Amen. You will speak your own rapture. The rapture will not come from up there. Your rapture is in you. Amen. Your transformation is in you. The thing that will... the thing that will trigger that transformation is your spoken word. But that, amen, that spoken word must be spoken with the mind of Christ. Amen. Remember, there was a little girl somewhere called Mary. She was just a teenager. She didn't know what it was about. She has been just in a process to get married somewhere. But an angel came down and spoke to her. Said, Mary, amen, you'll become pregnant. You'll give birth and this and this and that. Mary's, she was so anointed. The mind of Christ came into her. You know what started the transformation in Mary? It was her own spoken word. Amen. She was so clothed with the mind of Christ that she said the right thing in the right spirit. She said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be unto me as per your word. She spoke the correct word and it started the transformation process in her. Amen. You will speak your own rapture. You just need the mind of Christ. That's what it takes to start the transformation in you, my brother. Amen. The transformation in Mary started by a spoken word from an angel. You receive a messenger. The messenger gives you the instructions. And you, being clothed with the mind of Christ, you say the correct thing at the right time. Amen. Hattie Wright was clothed by the mind of Christ. Amen. So that in a moment where she had to speak something, she entered the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is a creative mind. Amen. It's a mind when in the beginning there was darkness covering the earth, the mind of Christ saw the light. The mind of Christ thought the light, and the mind of Christ spoke the light. Hattie Wright, being, you know, clothed by the mind of Christ, she could enter into the mind of Christ and say, what does Christ need now to be done to this request here? She spoke the right thing. Mary spoke the right thing, and before you know it, the next day, people could see Mary's physical appearance starting to change. Amen. You will speak your own rapture. Amen. Amen. My brother, if you get, you know, the mind of Christ in you, if you get so much clothed with the mind of Christ, you'll become so much like Christ that even gravity will not be able to hold you anymore. Amen. It is in you. You'll become so much like Christ that even the tomb won't be able to hold you anymore. Why didn't the tomb hold Christ? Because he had the mind of God. He could speak his own resurrection. You can speak your own transfer, your own rapture, my brother. What's the key? The mind of Christ in you. When you are awakened, my brother, as a bride, when you are awakened, you have the instruction. Take it with the mind of Christ. There's everything in here, but taken correctly, it will transform you. Amen. Amen. What does the prophet say? And every word in the Bible is God's thought laying in seed form. This is in the word became flesh. If received into the human being, and spoken by the same thoughts. Listen carefully. If the word in the Bible, if it is received in the human spirit and spoken with the same thoughts that materialize the Bible, it will bring things to pass. Amen. Amen. If you take the instruction manual with the mind of Christ in you, being transformed by the renewing of your mind and speak it with the same mind of Christ, the same mind of Christ that brought the Bible to materialization, that out of chaos created the good garden of Eden, that same mind of Christ will take the word and make it a reality in your life. Amen. It will become a substance. It will bring transformation. All your struggling will cease. Amen. All these things that hold you captive for so long, take the mind of Christ. Take the Bible. Speak the word. It will change you. Amen. Bride of Christ, are you awakened? And if you are awakened, take the mind of Christ and speak the word. It will change you. Amen. The prophet says, how powerful could the church be if you take these words, let this mind that was in Christ be also in you. You'll be a powerful church. Amen. You will work your own rapture. You will work your own everything. I don't want to mention it. Amen. Even in this natural life, You'll change situations in your life. Amen. Joshua, he was a man of like, you know, flesh and blood like you and me. But if that, you know, that Jericho wall is standing on your way, and you take the word of God, and you go back to your testimony, remember, you take your stones, and you say, I'll speak to this mountain. You enter into the spirit that wrote the Bible. With the mind of Christ in you, you'll defeat that situation. Amen. Do you believe that? He says, your thoughts must become his thoughts. Glory. Your heart and your mind is so. And so filled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become his thoughts. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place, a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving into your mortal being. That's where lays the power of creation. The power of creation is when you surrender your own human elements and you let the mind of Christ. Amen. Why don't we see these things happening in our, because most of the time we speak it in our human, with our human egos. You know, you go and say, the Bible says, I'll speak to the mountain and the mountain will go away. Yeah, you just want it to be in the newspapers. We are so, you know, in our own minds to an extent, even without thinking of it, there's just the self. So much self in it that we can't really see the manifestation. But if we let the mind of God, because Christ never did everything for himself. Amen. Christ never did anything for self. Anything he did, it was for others. Amen. Anything he did, he was able to do everything. He was able to take this, have a mansion, have a palace, every this, every. But because for your sake, for my sake. That's why everything you could speak would come to realization. And having the mind of Christ will bring you into that condition. Just consider that, my brother. As a bride of Christ, just consider that. Be awakened. We are going to close soon. The prophet says, this will be my last quote. And they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when all the human element goes out, you see the condition, when the human element goes out, and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy, where you empty yourself, then will be when the church, in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, will walk in his steps, in his power, in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. Then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. Amen. It's only when you take the mind of Christ that the thought of the mind of Christ in you will make the words, and you'll speak those words, and they will materialize. That's where your change lies. Amen. As the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where your change lies. Just be careful how you are dealing, how you are, your attitude towards the message. Your attitude towards the messenger. And when I'm talking about the messenger here, I'm not only talking about the prophet. We have received the message. The message has been delivered. But the prophet says, I don't have the court here. You can only serve God if you accept his sent ministers or something like that. I don't have the perfect quotation. But God, the prophet showing that you will serve God through his ministers. They will show you the way. But what the devil will try to do, is to kill the influence of the ministry. Amen. The devil will try to kill the influence of the ministry. That's why today we have in the message people that will come and say, we don't need Ephesians 4 anymore. I don't know where they stand. I don't know where they pull that for. But that's the devil's, I believe that's the devil's tactics. To try and kill the influence in the ministry. He'll try to show you the weakness in your pastor. Because the devil knows that the power of transformation is in the message. He knows that in the word, the only thing that can change you is the word of God. And spoken with the mind of Christ. The first thing he's going to do is try to steal the mind of Christ out of you. Try to do his best so that you can't have the mind of Christ. And make you doubt the message. Make you lose, you know, confidence in the ministry. Amen. He tells to show you the human aspect of the minister. Look, he's like this. Look, the pastor is like this. He did, my brother, my sister. Let me tell you something. God has his own way when how he's dealing with his servants. Amen. We are not trying to encourage any wrong thing here. But you, the prophet, the Bible calls you to respecting the ministry. Amen. The devil will try everything. Remember in the days of Elijah, there was another ministry, a parallel ministry. That ministry was called Jezebel. You know, she had her own minister as well. She was trying to kill the influence of the prophet in the age. It will happen in every age. So just be careful, my brother. But your aspect, your responsibility as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be awakened. Is to get your attention focused on the husband. The message has been delivered. You have received the message. Now you have the responsibility of acting on the message. Now you have the responsibility of taking the message in the spirit in which it was delivered, and you'll see the transformation in you. May God bless you.
Give us a song, Brother George.
Was where he will lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember, 'twas for me, that he was laid on Calvary. Yeah.
We are going to go into a season of prayer, my brother, my sister. Just take a few minutes before the Lord as we are meditating upon the word that has been preached. So many things have been said. You may not have understood everything, but whatever caught your attention, whatever was kept in your heart, meditate upon it. Maybe the Lord wants you to focus on that. Maybe that's what the Lord wants to work for you in your heart. Just meditate upon this word, my brother. Ask for God's mercies. We are so much into the world. We pay so much attention. We give so much priorities in the things of the world that we forget who we are. My brother, my sister, just consider your way. Just consider even the way you spend your time. Are you really in that position of that bride that's getting ready, making preparation for the home going? Are you really that bride? Have you seen? Have you got the revelation of who you are and your position? What are you supposed to be doing now? My brother, my sister, it's no time for distraction anymore. It's no time for too much entertainment. Go to work, but have the mind of Christ in you. Go to college, but know who you are. In your job, in your home duties, just remember you are the bride of Christ. It's a preparation time. Get up and start making your preparation. You have the key to your own rapture. You have the key to your own transformation. It just takes you to believe. It just takes you to re-enter into that deep intimacy with the husband. It will change you. It will transform you. It will give you everything you need. Just consider these words, my brother. As we enter into a season of prayer, ask the Lord to help you. If there's so many negligence in you, if you are so embarked in the things of the world that you fell asleep and slumbered, and you can't even remember that the husband, the groom is coming, ask God to give you that quickening power that will give you that awareness, that will make you awake and start preparing yourself. Let's speak to the Lord. Let's pray.
'Tis a beautiful land. 'Tis a beautiful home of the sky. Oh, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall. Oh, 'tis a land where we'll never go, never go, oh, never go, oh, never go. 'Tis a land where we'll never go, never. Where we'll never more roam, we shall meet in the sweet by and by and by. Praise, praise to the King, through eternity sing. Yes, a land where we'll never
thy name, O Lord.
How wonderful is your name.
How wonderful is thy name.
Excellent. You are wonderful. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, what a blessed time. Oh, that Lord, we have had in your presence, Lord. Yes, always in your presence we are renewed. Oh, from strength to strength, Lord. Father, we thank you for this place, the Lord. You have given to us even to have the opportunity, Lord Jesus, to hear your word, O God. And Father, we thank you. You've given us a word, oh, that will take us through the week and beyond. And we say, Lord, thank you. Amen. Father, how grateful we are, Lord, that, Lord, even before the foundation of the world, oh, you sowed a seed of life, Lord, in us. And Father, at appointed time, Lord, oh, you send the S-O-N shine, oh, to shine upon that seed that was dormant, Lord, and that it has quickened it and awakened it, Lord. And Father, oh, yes, Lord Jesus, that has transformed us, that has made us, oh, Lord, yes, sons and daughters of you, God. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, Lord. Father, our prayer is that, Lord, if still there are anyone still sleeping, oh God, amongst us, Lord. Oh, Father, we pray that, Lord, that one will be quickened, oh Lord, for him to sit. And if there's anyone sitting, oh Lord, let that person be quickened to stand. And if there's people standing, Lord, let them, oh God, be quickened to be running now. And even if we are running, Lord, oh, let us take flight now. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that there is nothing that can quicken us than the message of the hour that, Lord, you have given to us. And so, Lord, we say thank you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. There are millions out there. But yet, Lord, through your grace, Lord, oh, you saw our need, Lord. And Father, you have called us, oh Lord, into this message, oh, to transform us, Lord. We bless your wondrous name. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, there was a request here this morning. Our precious sister, Philady, is traveling. She is traveling to South Africa. Father, we commit her into your hands. The Lord, you granted Jenny mercies, her going out and coming in, Lord. Father, the purpose of her going, let her come back, O Lord, with testimonies to the glory of your name. And at this moment, Lord, yes, we know our pastor and the brethren, they are in Poland. And Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit that hath quickened us, awakened us this morning here, we know that's the same thing because you cover every space and time, Lord. And the Lord has been the same also over there. We say thank you, Lord. And Father, we commit their coming back also into your hands. As Lord, you took them, bring them safely back once again. Oh, yes, Lord, we commit them into your hands. Lord, your servant here whom you have used. Oh, yes. Amen. Lord, shame unto the enemy.
Amen.
Oh, how, Lord, the enemy knew.
Yes.
that we will be quickened, that we will be awakened. And so he did everything to stop it. But Lord, by your grace, oh, your healing power, oh, yes, you touched our brother and restored him, oh, Lord, to stand here and bring that word to awaken us, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. Bless him and his family, Lord. And Lord Jesus, yes, once again, we commit the ministry in this house, Lord, into your hands. Continue to bless your servants. Bless the congregation. Bless each and everyone, Lord. And Father, even as you have started so well in such a tremendous way, oh, to begin a week, Lord, we commit the rest of the week into your hands. Oh, come going out from here, Lord. You brought us in. Father, take us back. And Lord, we take this word, Lord, always quickening us, keeping us awake. Oh, to turn to no one but you, Lord. Father, we commit the week into your hands, your children, wherever they'll be going, their working places, students to their schools and colleges, everywhere that, Lord, your children would be. Please, Lord, go before them and bless them and keep them safe, Lord, until, Lord, we come back again to hear more of your quickening power. Amen. Lord, we say bless your people, and we thank you. We give all glory to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
God bless you, saints. I think for the coming week, the program will be communicated, you know, through the WhatsApp groups. You will know the exact place where the Friday meetings will be held for your particular area. For now, I think Wednesday we'll have the Zoom Bible study from Northern Ireland. Just keep a watch, and may really God bless you as we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Jehovah is your name, is Jehovah, Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah, Jehovah.